I'm Jim Folsom, Communications Officer for GBIM. Well, we value your time, and we're going to keep this to our 30-minute time frame. But we also want to be able to answer any questions you have, and so we'll keep some time open at the end for a Q&A. Now, if you're new to webinars and you're wondering, well, how in the world do you do a question and answer period? When you logged in and your attendee box opened up, mine shows up on the right-hand side, and there's a tab there that says questions. I'll be compiling them as we go along, and then at the end, I'll turn them over to Dave, and he will answer or ask the appropriate person to answer that question. So without any further ado, let me introduce you to Dave Giles, our Executive Director, and allow him to begin.
Well, thank you, Jim, and welcome to all of you joining us for this webinar of God on Mission, the Crisis in and Grace Brother Ministries in Japan. We'll also spend a few minutes explaining how GBIM responds to crises that may affect our staff. Unprecedented series of political crises and natural disasters in the world, asking questions about how God would have us understand and respond to them. I'm joined today by three colleagues, Wayne Hanna, our Asia Regional Director, Blaine Horse, our Personnel Officer, who also leads our crisis response team, and Tom Julian, Director Emeritus, will join us by a previous recording. I'd like to begin with you, Wayne. I know you've been in regular contact with our staff, and so let me just go to some questions for you that I think would be of interest to many. How have our GBI missionaries and interns been affected by the disaster, and how do you feel they're doing now?
Okay, well, good evening, Dave, and everyone. Well, actually, just yesterday I was talking with Ralph Justiniano, who is not in, in Kazakhstan, and so that's been one of the added dilemmas. But as we were talking, I asked him that very question, and I think I have this so that you can actually hear him tell us.
So, Ralph, if you could just give us a little bit of an update of how our immediate staff and interns are being affected. All of our staff and interns were all safe, and nobody was hurt or injured during the earthquake or the tsunami. So, first of all, praise the Lord for that. The way we're being impacted, well, there are a lot of things that are uncertain and a lot of things that are cut off right now. Electrical blackouts are scheduled actually for the next few months. The trains are not always running, so can't even get there. Things like groceries and supplies are gone. They're off the shelves. Deliveries aren't being made. So I was out trying to get bread the other day, and all the stores, the shelves were empty. Trying to get water, drinking water, that's all gone too. So some of those kinds of things make for a little bit of a challenge.
There in Tokyo, at this point, where there's a great deal of concern on the part of Joan and Kelly that are still there in Tokyo, as well as our believers and churches there, for especially the possibility of radiation, of course. But our other staff members, the Kenjos, the Aokis down in Okinawa, are not affected by it. Up at the North Star near Nagano, it's a little bit different, where Dan and Tina Junker are, and also two interns, Ben Palsha and Ian Janoka. They are experiencing some anxiety, of course, because they know people in the area, and our Japanese staff, Ken-san and Michie and people like that are also, everybody's healthy, everybody's fine, nobody's suffering any direct loss at this point.
Well, we all see these pictures, and they are so moving of people who have lost so much, and the pain, and obviously the anxiety about the relatives who haven't been found, and it's just amazing the situation there. And I think many of GBIM work hard to avoid any kind of knee-jerk reaction. We want to respond with wisdom as well as with compassion. But why don't we begin with what our staff have to say? You've been in contact with them. How do they recommend that we respond to this disaster?
Well, immediately everybody's first response has been to pray. That's what we need. Do. It's so overwhelming. The prayer is something we can do, and it's incredibly important. And the three major things that they're asking suffering and the pain and the loss, you know, all of these tens of thousands of people who have died. Are people still the created in the image of God, that God loves each one of them as much as any of us. The families, of course, and all of their pain and those that are still suffering. And the second thing is for the relief and the rebuilding efforts. That's very significant. We need to pray for wisdom and courage in that area as well. We'll be talking about that in a little bit, as there might be implications for us directly. And then, of course, consistently everybody's saying, please pray that this might be Japanese people, this largest of the least reached people on planet Earth.
So great prayer requests, those suffering and pain and loss, for the release and rebuilding efforts, and just for a spiritual awakening across that country. We've heard rumors that the Japanese government is just saying, you know, don't come flooding over here. This is too complicated. There's a lot of danger and so forth. Have you been able, Wayne, on our behalf, to locate a relief agency that we can cooperate with? And if so, what would our part be?
Yes, actually, thanks to Joan and Ralph, who have had relationships and partnerships with missions over the years. Mission organizations like SEND International, CNN helped us actually to get into Tokyo and to Japan. They have all gathered together, and many others, in something called CRASH. It's called Christian Relief Assistance Support and Hope. And this is a Japan-based network that's been ongoing. They just met, coincidentally, and I say that in quotes, coincidentally just a week ago to ramp this kind of disaster relief opportunity. And so this is the group that we feel most confident to be able to work with. And one of the reasons is because their value of working with the existing Japanese evangelical churches is a shared value with us at GBIM. Their approach will be not just to try to go in and do what the rest of the evangelical believers and churches and help to mobilize them, equip them, train them as well so that they can be the ministry in the hands of Christ and of compassion for the people in those localities. And so we're really confident that this is going to be a good relationship. They're already on site. They've near Sendai.
Well, I think on the screen people can see how to get in through our website to be able to contribute, and this would be consistent with our response to other disasters that we've dealt with around the globe, of seeking to work through people who we trust on the ground. That's often our own people, where we have boots on the ground. We're not able to do that. It's through partnerships in very concrete ways can be delivered right there on the front lines. So I hope there's a good response to that.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen over the past couple of years how Japan's economy's been struggling. They've had their own economic difficulties. How do you feel, Wayne, that this disaster will affect the economy now? And by extension, how about our own team situation, our churches?
Yeah, it's just impossible to know how huge an impact this disaster will have, not only on Japan, but on world economy. Many are predicting this will just cause a movement back into a major world recession, since Japan's the third largest economy in all of the world. So there will definitely be an effect, a tumbling effect. Today it was at one point 26%. Now it's, I guess it ended about 11% on top of that 10. So it's huge. Businesses like the auto industry, all connected really back to through the United States and with other countries, Germany, these are all going to be affected. They're just are going to be huge ramifications. Our churches as well. These people are going to be, and so we need to keep that in mind. Our missionaries as well. I mean, it's not cheap to for us to have a staff in Japan already, and with the increased financial issues that we're probably going to face, it's going to impact our team, our families that we all know and love so well there. I'm also concerned, Dave, as you mentioned, and we talked about earlier, was the North Star from schools and churches and also individuals who come up to the mountains near Nagano and for skiing, for snowboarding, for the extreme sports, winter and summer sports. We're concerned about this because, of course, that's in essence a leisure industry. And already, in light of the disaster, very concerned as to whether North Star can make it through this this difficult time. So we need to be praying for the junkers, Dan and Tina, as they continue to lead our team, our business there. So.
Well, much to pray about, and I'd like to especially ask you then what we might be able to do. We've got to be praying. We've got opportunities to be giving. Do you foresee involved in any kind of rehabilitation and reconstruction?
Well, yeah, it's probable. We don't, of course, can't at this moment move in with any kind of of people, and certainly very soon through CRASH and other organizations like that and the Japanese churches, there will be more people who have skills that are necessary, and we'll follow up on all those. In fact, we'll be in a regular on a regular basis in contact with the leaders of CRASH and these churches to know exactly when we're needed and when we can go in where it makes good sense. So we aren't even by like at this point, even the government is saying because of the radiation threat in some of these places, just don't come. But certainly, like most places, I remember in the days of the tsunami and other places where we've helped, that our day will come, and it will probably be soon when we'll be able to do some hands-on stuff, and we'll need everybody to consider what God's calling them to do.
Well, thanks, Wayne, for being on top of the situation there. And we want to be praying for you as well as you provide leadership for the region. Going onto our website where the ministries of the individuals you've named would be described, and certainly in the annual prayer guide, there's additional information. Mm-hmm. But if you're checking back periodically on the website, we'll be posting updates concerning the rapidly developing situation there, as well as potentially opportunities to get involved. Blaine has been intimately involved in handling many crises that have affected our staff over the years. I'm thinking specifically about civil unrest in Africa, about different medical emergencies ministries have had, that missionaries have had, natural disasters like the recent earthquake in Chile and more. And Blaine, would you just tell us a little bit how it is put together and a little bit of the ministry that it has for our people?
Yeah, we have a crisis response team that focuses on our missionary care, especially in immediate response to a situation. The team includes the director of operations, our financial officer, communications officer, and me as personnel officer. Our focus is to, of course, right away find out what the situation is, what needs they have, what resources we can bring to bear to help them, but then also to communicate and mobilize people to pray and then communicate on their behalf as we can. We work with the missionaries' regional and local leaders to make sure that what we're doing fits within the ministry and the culture, respond quickly, and to help in the needs that are right apparent. We also work with, in advance, finding different experts who can advise us in different areas of crisis, and also provide services as they're needed. After we have initiated that immediate care for our missionaries, then we can turn over the ring and other kinds of issues like that.
So I'm pleased that there is a group of people prepared. I understand that you even have worked so that most of our staff around the world have evacuation plans in place. Some kind of crisis comes up. There are people who know what to do. We're able to provide that kind of care. But let's wind the clock back then a few days to Monday or to Friday morning when this disaster stuff on the news and it's time to activate the crisis response team. Walk us through what would have happened in the ensuing hours.
Well, the first thing that I did was immediately try to contact the Justinianos. From the news reports, Tokyo was affected. It was unclear as to how bad the damage was right in their immediate area. We continued to try until we were able to talk to them, and we worked with them and with Wayne, our regional director there, to connect and confirm with our other folks up at North Star and Okinawa to ascertain that they were okay, as it turned out that they were. We had found out that the Justinianos and the Junkers had communicated with their families and their partners, so we didn't specifically focus on that area, but we tried to get the word out to their friends and co-workers, and also to mobilize prayer around the world for what was happening. We worked through our website and also our friends at Brethren Missionary Herald to get the word out. Now, we're continuing to stay in contact and to provide care throughout this time. In fact, as Wayne mentioned, Ralph was outside of the country, and we worked on plans to get him home earlier. And stay connected with our families over the coming weeks until life starts to normalize a bit, to help them through the various adjustments and changes that they'll need to face.
Well, thank you, Blaine, on behalf of all of us, and I'm sure the entire Grace Brethren family. Thanks to you and to the crisis response team for caring for our people, and also for doing the hard work ahead of time to make sure that when these crises, Jim Folsom, when he announced our webinar and got things started, that we will be able to receive questions. And you can do that through the box that's on the right-hand side of your screen there. And this might be a good time to begin to send any of those questions in that you have. But I did mention also that earlier today, in our earlier broadcast of the webinar, Tom Julian, former, we have captured some of his thoughts on tape, and we've asked him to give some biblical perspectives. So let me run the recording, and I believe Tom's words will be a blessing.
Well, thanks, Tom, for taking a few moments to be with us. I think most of our audience would know that you were a former missionary to France and a former executive director of GBIM. And I remember, Tom, asking you back in September of 2001 to address our global staff concerning the events of 9/11, providing us with a biblical perspective on those history-altering events. And so I thought it'd be appropriate to invite you to join our panel today and to provide some insights concerning how we should understand what is happening in Japan in light of the bigger picture of what God is up to in our world today. So let me start with this rather direct question. Do you see these catastrophes as signs of the coming of the Lord? And how should we as Christians react to them without falling into one extreme or another?
Well, you know, Dave, 9/11 was something that shook us to the core as a country. But when I compare 9/11 to what's going on in the world today, I can't ever remember a time in my lifetime, at least, where there's been such a succession of political and catastrophic events in the world, one right after another. In fact, it's coming so fast that we almost forget the people of Haiti now, the people of Chile, the people of New Zealand. Things are coming so fast that it just kind of blocks out the suffering of so many of the people of the world. And it's very evident that Jesus said there will be many catastrophes preceding his return. He said nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, fearful events and great signs in heaven. And he said, when you see these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And this reference to redemption is certainly a reference to his coming again. When we see these things, we can only believe that, yes, the time could be near. And yet at the same time, we have to guard against extremes. I even heard of one church that gathered its people together on a Friday night with white robes to await the return of Jesus. Well, this we would call fanaticism, and that we've got to avoid. But on the other hand, we've got to avoid unconcern, because if we as Christians are going to learn anything from these catastrophic events, it's that, yes, these things will take place, and we must be ready, and we must purify ourselves as he is pure, and we must, above all, be faithful in getting the good news to those who have yet to hear.
Well, Tom, great words, and that moves me then to this next topic of discussion. It has to do with us and compassion. How can the church be mobilized to respond to suffering? What do you see as appropriate ways for us to demonstrate the compassion of Jesus Christ in times of such great suffering?
And so many people are talking about compassion, and certainly if our hearts are not moved by the suffering of all these people, then we need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, break our hearts, because who can look at the newscasts of the extreme suffering of literally thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people and not be moved? A lot has been said about prayer, and certainly that's our first resort. Prayer, first and always, that God in His mercy will pour out His grace upon these people, and that we, as we show compassion through prayer, I don't think there's any greater way than we can show. But I'm thankful to hear of all the relief agencies that are seeking to help, and certainly we will all want to participate in any way that we can in those things. But perhaps even beyond this, as we pray and as we share the good news, the compassion upon the souls of people, because whatever happens on this earth, we know that we're here only for a few years, and then we're going to be spending eternity. And our compassion will best be shown by doing everything we can to get the gospel out. I remember when Jesus was talking to the disciples just before going back to heaven, the disciples said, Lord, are you going at this time to restore the kingdom? In other words, is this the time that you're going to set up your throne? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And if there's any way of showing compassion, it is to do everything we can to help those missionaries who are already there, to help others go, and to bring the good news to the people of this world, those who have yet to be reached, so that they will be ready when the Lord comes back.
Well, that's a great passage to make reference to as well, because it reminds us that even though Scripture tells us that things will get very, very bad before the coming of Christ, we really can't be assigning times. We can't be second-guessing God. But there is a task we have been given to do, and that is to pray and to demonstrate compassion and to clearly share the good news of Jesus Christ. And I guess if things get much worse, or if we have a period of time in world history where things are a bit better, all of those things really we have to entrust to God. But we know what our responsibility is. But I'd like to explore that idea of catastrophe with you just a little bit more. I'm wondering if in your experience you've seen some sort of correlation between times of great testing and trial, catastrophe, let's say, and the level of responsiveness of people to the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yes, I think, Dave, from my experience, almost inevitably the two go together. You wonder whether people are going to be able to turn to the Lord without experiencing great stress. I remember when I was in France, we were concerned about praying for revival for France and for Europe, and we invited a man to talk about revival. And one thing that he said, I'll never forget, he said, let's remember, if you pray for revival, you're praying for trouble, because God will bring the means of shaking people from their complacency, shaking them from their love of this world, and somehow causing their heads to turn upward to the Lord Jesus. Yes, indeed, there is a correlation between problems and spiritual awakening, and we're just praying desperately that this will be the case in Japan, this country that has been so far from knowing the Lord, that what is happening there now will cause people in great numbers to turn their hearts to the Lord Jesus.
Well, Tom, we're so grateful for the bigger picture perspective you've been able to bring to this, and want to thank you for giving us some of your time today.
You're very welcome. And one final word, God is still on the throne. I was just looking at a passage. We do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And then at the end, what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Well, we are back now to our live broadcast. Grateful that we were able to record, Tom, a little bit earlier today. And I want to take a few of the questions that have come in through the day. And that is the big question, is there a point where you would pull the trigger and get our people out because of some of the potential danger that they're facing?
Yeah, that is pointed. And interesting, after that question, and the first webinar and now, I actually wrote to Ralph and our team there and asked them to verify American Army base, where we've been getting reliable, probably a little bit more reliable numbers on the radiation effects as far south as Tokyo. And also a believer friend that's in that on that military base. So what I'm saying is that as we are watching other organizations and as we're watching and some markers from them, at the point that they begin to decide it's time to evacuate personnel, both U.S. And others from the area, then we'll probably as well move our teams out. We won't follow every organization, but we'll look at all of them and monitor that. And everyone's ready. The teams are ready to go if they need to.
Those are tough decisions, aren't they? I know we faced those in other regions in the world in the past. How long to stay? When is it really appropriate to pull out? Oftentimes, we ask the national believers, don't we?
Right.
And if they say, we don't need you here, we don't want you here, it's not a good thing, that's when we'll for sure pull them out. But that's an issue we need a lot of prayer for.
Mm-hmm.
Another question that came to us, Wayne, do we know of loved ones who are perhaps relatives of members of our churches there, or maybe they are relatives of, we of course have a Japanese returnee ministry and church in Southern California, Long Beach area, with a number of Japanese believers there. People who are missing or perhaps have passed away in this event?
Yeah, no, I'm not aware beyond the people in our team in Japan. At this point, we're not aware of any family members of any of our believers or Japanese staff, but certainly friends and acquaintances that people know in those areas. And so, so reality that numbers of friends and acquaintances are suffering. Yeah, we do have, of course, Cecil and Debbie O'Dell, who served for many years in Japan and now back in Long Beach, and their hearts are grieving for people as well that they would know in that area, and our Japanese personnel out there now, and Chico Makino as well. So we're keeping all these people, and as missing, we'll probably discover that there are family members and loved ones as well that are part of this disaster.
Well, we certainly don't have to know specifics to pray
right. And
intercede. We have a Spirit who intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And just prayer for this kind of thing, I believe, really honors God. And let's keep those people in prayer.
One of our listeners is asking, how can kids be involved?
Well, of course, kids can pray. And in fact, we have some grandkids at our house right now. And Gina and I were sitting at the table tonight, and we held hands and prayed together and thought we need to do this. And as we were praying, one of our four-year-old was praying. I thought this would be a perfect time for people to begin to pray for the people in Japan and that they catch glimpses as well. So that's one thing. And then, you know, if children can and want to give, there are always these possibilities in classes, stimulate and mobilize their friends to give money to relief efforts as well. And then we don't know, perhaps it might be appropriate as we can get that information back. We can put it on a website where we could use some encouragement out of Sunday schools and church school classes, maybe even some postcards or letters and letters of encouragement. So we'll keep that in mind. It's a great suggestion.
Well, you've started me thinking down that path. What a great teaching opportunity as children are exposed to some of what's on TV and say, what God most wants us to do right now is to pray for these people It just may be a way the Lord uses to open their hearts to the world and to begin to plant that seed of missionary outreach in them. So great question. Another question has to do with Ralph. You mentioned he needs to get back from Kazakhstan. And can you tell us what issues he's facing and trying to get in, and when would he be able to return?
Evening, which is Wednesday, and it will be at the end of his key day of training. His partner has already left and gone back home to his family down in Osaka. And now he is, but at the end of his training tomorrow, he'll be able to hop on an airplane. I think it's Air Astana. That is the Thursday back to his family. So it's a little circuitous, and he was able to get cost of his former flight to apply to this flight, and we're going to help him with all the rest, get him home as soon as possible. So Thursday, sometime during the day, he'll get home, hopefully.
Well, that's got to be tough, the separation. Well, I can think of no more appropriate way to wrap up this time. We've gone a few minutes over our goal of 30 minutes, but I think it's been appropriate. I hope the information has been a blessing. But again, what better way to wrap this up than to do what we want to do now? And that is just to ask you, Wayne, if you would lead us in a prayer of intercession for Japan and for missionary staff there from our prayer up, we will conclude our webinar.
Yeah, I'm delighted. Lord, it has been a very, very challenging year. As Tom has said, reminded us there are these parade of events, even thinking of the uprising and killings in one of our countries and where we're involved in Pakistan, Chile, et cetera. And it has been this year where we have come to our fallen on our faces before you and ask for you to come to the aid of these people. We continue to ask that, Lord. We don't know what you're doing precisely, but we do know that you are in control. And we turn to you, the one who is in control, to ask for together in an extraordinary way as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ to unite our efforts for Japan, not forgetting as well those others that we are have prior commitments to in other places. We pray for those that are suffering such pain and loss. Lord, not only may it be a pivotal point in their lives, they might open up to you, but we pray for the relief of their pain. Father, we ask, too, that it will be a great opportunity for your people who are called by your name, to magnify and exhibit the love of Jesus Christ toward their neighbors and friends in their localities, for the churches, pastors, and workers around those areas as well, that they might demonstrate this kind of courage and sacrificial love toward these people, as well for our team in the work that they have all been called by you to do. And so we put them before you as well, families of our missionaries as well. And then, of course, the big picture thing that we continue to pray for all of our countries, wherever we are, among the least reached and other places. Father, we pray that this might be there would be a spiritual awakening among these people. Take the blinders off of their eyes, and they might see the glory of Jesus Christ in a new way and turn and acknowledge you as Lord. We pray these things only because of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.